We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A large swath of people are still on hold, wanting to talk about Kaepernick, the game he needs to play tomorrow, the statement that he's trying to make, the message. Stay on hold, please. We're going to get back to you. We will then celebrate the much better than your and I's life of Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen. Oh, boy. Right now, though, it's time to talk a little baseball, more specifically Giants baseball. And to do that, we always turn to Alex Pavlovich, CSN Bay Area Giants insider. This is probably, if you wanted to say what is the single most important day on the schedule, today might be that day because the Giants are already in the books with a win and the Dodgers got two in Colorado. They've already lost the first game. They lose the second game. Guess who's sitting in much better shape than if they had lost today and the Dodgers won too? Very big day today, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, pretty massive swing here, and especially for the Giants. I mean, coming out, I'm in Chicago already, but they're headed out here and having to face the Cubs for four games and then having to go to Coors where the Dodgers are right now. It's never an easy place to play. Arizona is never an easy place to play, even with that team. So I think to go into this road trip the way it looks like they are going to go into it with what's happening today, it's huge.
You know, Johnny Cueto and Zach Greinke, you know, getting a lot of conversation yesterday. The two of them are forever going to be linked by signing very different deals for the same amount of time. And the question of value will be discussed as much as who's got more talent. The fact that Cueto's a 1-4 with a 4.25 ERA in the second half, it's part of the reason why the Giants are in this situation. He had that bad inning again last night. Where's his head? Is he still as happy here in San Francisco as he was earlier? Are the Giants still happy with the effort that he's putting out? Because it just seems like he has that inning full of burps that he was avoiding all in the first half. Is he wearing down? Is he getting tired?
You know, I think from a happiness standpoint, he's the exact same guy. I think he's happy to be here. He's happy to be with a contender and a team that's in the race, certainly after the way he spent most of his career. And I think from an effort standpoint, from what he's doing between starts, I mean, this guy is really somebody who it would surprise you a little bit, but works very hard. I know the physique maybe doesn't give that away, but he is a guy who runs the bleachers religiously and works a lot between starts to be ready. I do think it might be a workload thing. I mean, four of his five shortest starts have been since the All-Star game. And you look at the first half, he finished, I think, in the top two or three in pitches thrown. He was right there with Bumgarner and Max Scherzer in innings, and then of course he goes to the All-Star game and pitches there, and then he comes back and jumps right back into the rotation. They move him up a day, so he's right behind Bumgarner again. So I do think there has to be a little bit of concern as far as the workload he's had, and remember, this is a guy who went all the way through the World Series last year, so this is kind of a cumulative thing for him.
Yeah, and boy, there's a lot of fatigue on this Giants staff and a lot of reasons for guys to be tired over the workloads that they've had over the last, you know, 6 years almost now. September call-ups are tomorrow, Alex. How much of an impact will the likes of Mac Williamson, Osich, Kelby Tomlinson, Matt Reynolds, what are they going to have? What kind of an impact are they going to have? Because we know that Bochy, especially when he's trying to close out a division, doesn't exactly turn to the youth movement like some other managers do.
Yeah, Bruce Bochy also now has five left-handers in his bullpen. So all of those games, if you're planning to come to the ballpark, I mean, we're going 4 hours every single night because he is going to play the matchups. He's going to have Okert in there facing a lefty in the sixth or whatever he has to do. But I think these guys, even though they're not big names, certainly, and some of them are, Reynolds is a veteran, a guy who's been around. The other guy's a little bit younger. I mean, not any huge prospects. There's no Christian Arroyo coming up, no Tyler Beatty. But I think these guys are really going to help. I'll start with Mac Williamson. Him and Parker were two guys who really, at the end of the first half, gave this team a lot of energy, gave them a lot of power, something that's been missing this entire second half. So I think he's going to give them a boost. And then just up and down the line, this is, like you just mentioned, it's a tired pitching staff, I think, and a bullpen that, even though they have a ton of guys down there, there are guys down there who look tired. I think they could use the break, and everybody is going to help, whether it's a tie block or an Okert, just filling out innings, filling in here and there, maybe block ends up being the guy who helps out in that number five spot. So I think even though it's not maybe the sexiest class in the world, it's going to be a group that really helps.
No Arroyo, they don't want to start that major league clock ticking, huh?
No, and also, I mean, one thing people have to realize is he didn't exactly blow away the competition in Double A. I mean, he's a young kid. I think he's going to be outstanding at this level, but he is very young. He was going through Double A for the first time. It was a long season for him. I think the impression I've gotten is that they felt maybe he wore down a little bit and needs to get used to playing that longer season the big leaguers have and playing into September and October maybe. So I think he will be here. He'll be there in spring training next year competing for an opening day job, but it was a little bit too soon for him.
Matt Moore, another nice start today, fresh off a near no-no. Starting to make that Duffy trade just look a little bit more digestible. If only Matt Moore had a really fat pet at home to share with Giants fans, you know?
I know, we got to discover something. You know, he is an interesting guy and a very laid-back guy. There's got to be something in his background that we can give to the fan base that'll kind of help him get over the final hurdle there of Duffy and Skeeter.
Yeah, Skeeter's a tough – those are big paws to fill. They really, really are.
It was, too. You know, it wasn't just the Matt Duffy trade. It was the Skeeter trade.
It really was.
Both of them went out of town.
Look, all I can tell you is that if you want to pick a fight on the internet, never do it with a cat. Cats run the internet.
Absolutely.
Alex Pavlovich here. So, again, 10-game road trip. You start with the Cubs. Does this feel like it? Is this the make-or-break week of baseball right around the corner here?
I don't know that it is, just because I'll go back to what we started off talking about, the Dodgers. They refused to put this division away, and they're going to go to Coors, and it looks like they might get swept there. So I think they have their issues. It sounds like Clayton Kershaw is going to need at least one rehab start. Rich Hill scratched again today with that blister. It's just a team that's not going to run away from the Giants no matter what they do on this road trip. But I think from the perspective of looking a little bit further down the line, the one issue for the Giants, the thing we haven't talked about a whole lot in the second half, is they've played better teams in the second half than they did in the first half, and they've been exposed a little bit. So I think, you know, the Orioles series, the Pirates series, that showed us something about this team. And this is a chance for them to prove that they're kind of in that upper echelon, that they're not a team that just beat up on the Padres and the Diamondbacks.
Everybody at the ballgame stand up for the national anthem today?
I don't know. I was on my way to Chicago, but I assume they did.
I assume they did. Look at it this way. The internet's not burning down, so let's just assume everyone did.
Yeah, I'm sure you've had a long week of radio.
I honestly feel like I should tie the little of this week's check to Colin. He's made it easier or harder. I can't even tell now. Thank you, though, Alex. Always great to talk to you. Enjoy Chicago. Go get a big martini and a fat steak at Gibson's. You'll be happy you did.
All right. Thanks, Damon.
Thank you, brother. Alex Pavlovich, CSN Bay Area Giants insider. Let me tell you, we should all be going to Gibson's for fishbowl martinis and fat steaks tonight.
That actually sounds really good.
It really, really does.
House of Prime Rib sounds really good.
You know what I did a couple nights ago? I was getting a little frisky in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I made a poivre sauce to go over the steak that I seared in the old cast iron skillet.
Did you really?
A poivre.
Wow.
Little black peppercorn,
yeah.
Brandy, cognac. Oh, yeah.
Damon.
It was.
Chef Damon.
I don't know. I don't normally go saucier, but I'm glad I did. And I'm telling you, it was damn good. I'm coming for you, Izzy's. Their famous thing is their steak a poivre. I'm coming for you. As soon as I figure out how to do those potatoes, I'm opening a restaurant next to you. This is Justin in Dublin. He's been waiting patiently, as has everybody here on hold right now. Thank you very much. Justin, what you got?
Thank you, Damon. I appreciate it. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you. If nothing else, Kaepernick brought us together, right?
Ain't that the truth? You know, everyone that I spoke to has mixed feelings. You know, I, being half Native American, I know the understanding of having racism towards me, you know, because you look at me and I'm white, but on the inside, I'm half Native American and half white. My father was full-blooded. I got shipped to the reservation when I was a kid, and when I walked on the reservation, everyone looked at me as being an outsider, you know, being white. So I know how it is to be on the other side of the coin. Like, I looked at everyone going, hey, I'm the same as you. I can speak the language. I know how it is. And they looked at me like, no, you're white. So I know what racism is. So
you got Rodney Harrison. You got Rodney Harrison.
So it's good that, you know, Kaepernick's standing up for people like me, people who are oppressed and people who feel like they have no way of speaking for themselves. So it's good, but in a way, he shouldn't have done it the way he did. So I don't agree with the whole statement of, you know, him not sitting up for the national anthem. That is something that people have lived and died for our country, so we could speak and we could be able to speak the way we are. My father, being a Vietnam veteran, always told me, if you have something to say, speak your mind. We fought for your right to speak, to be who you are. So it's like, you know, I just feel I'm on the fence on this. I don't want to say I'm one side or the other side. So it's like, you know, how do I feel on this one? Is stand up for yourself. It's good that he's doing that. It's good that he's standing up for the people, but do it in the right way. Do it in the way that everyone expects you to do it. You know, don't do it because you want to make a big scene. Like, you know, it's not the way you do it. It's the method that you do it. You know, that should be how you should do it.
I appreciate your call, Justin, very much. Thank you. And I'm going to tell you that I can already feel your call being judged by the audience and by Twitter saying, well, that's the yin and yang in you. You know, the Native American says, yeah, absolutely, stand up and protest. But the white guy in you says, you better do it in a way that I like and approve.
Right.
I'm not saying that anybody needs my approval, but you will get my commentary because I'm an opinionist. That's what I do. I talk about what happens in the world around me. And this stepped into our world because it's a football story before it was anything else.
And you have the right to do that.
And I have the right to do that. It's fascinating. I mean, there's never been a more interesting fourth preseason game for any one human being on the planet that has a high profile. There are a bunch of guys that, you know, trying to be the 53rd man on a team. Yeah, that's an interesting preseason, but you don't even know who that is yet.
Right.
Unless you're watching Hard Knocks, okay? When they send the Turk, bring your playbook. Coach wants to see you. It's no good. Let's go to Richard in San Jose. Thank you for holding, Richard. I see you've been on a while. I appreciate it. How are you?
I'm fine, sir, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to chime in on this. I'm basically like this about it. You know, the other guy, caller, said that he was a white guy and he grew up in Atherton and was given a good education, and because of that, he was able to do these things. On the other end, I'm an African-American, and I grew up on the Bay Area, Redwood City, right around the corner from where Charles Johnson himself used to live. And I can tell you this much. I've been on both sides of the spectrum, but I also know this much. I know that the police that are out there policing the streets, they are paid, and they are trained. They trained an average of 5 to 6 hours a day on how to subdue people. Okay?
Yep.
You kind of understand what I'm getting? I mean, that's what they're paid to do. So if you have an interaction with the police at any time, because whenever I get confronted by them, I'm always, yes, officer, no, officer, okay?
As am I, out of respect.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something. I've been arrested before, okay? I'll tell you that. As an African-American, yes, I've been arrested before. But I've never been beaten. I never had anything done to me that wasn't professional. And you know why? Because I approach it professionally. I always, yes, officer, no, officer. No, I did not do that, officer. Yes, I think I might have done it, officer. Well, here's your ticket. Oh, well, you didn't pay your ticket. Guess what? Now you got to go to jail. And that's what was my experience. But it was way back when, because I'm a much older man. Now, they probably don't jail people anymore. But my point I'm getting at is that when people interact with the police, they should keep that in their mind. You're dealing with people who have the ability to subdue you. The person has a gun. They got a baton. I mean, I wouldn't try that person. I'm sorry, man or woman. And that's just how I see it. I think, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's some bad cops out there, because for every good cop, there's going to be a bad one. All the more reason not to try them.
I really appreciate the call. Thank you very much. There's some honesty right there. I've always said the number one way to not ever get shot by anyone who is trying to, you know, like if it's a freeze, that's not a suggestion.
You freeze.
It's not a suggestion.
Yeah.
It's not an opinion that they'd like you to follow. It's a direct command, and you should follow that command. I mean, it's just, this is, you know, it's a very, very touchy subject. It rubs so many people the wrong way. I can't even imagine there's a more stressful job than being a cop.
Or
I mean,
scary.
I really can't. Or, you know, like an open heart surgeon, you know, like lives are in your hands. You know, somebody could slip away. Somebody could slip away. It's just incredible stress. I mean, you and I work in the toy department compared to people who go to work with a sidearm attached to them.
Oh, both my half-sisters were married to detectives, and they thought about it every day they went. Their husbands left for work. It was always a scary thing.
Right.
They just, you know, they wanted them to come home.
And, you know, we had my man McBride on the other day, and he said he's scared when his children leave the house because, you know, getting pulled over as a young black man is different than being pulled over as a young white man. And I acknowledge and agree with that, too.
It's very true.
So let's continue. Omar in San Francisco. No, wait. It says Omar says no more cap talk. You don't pick the subjects here, Omar. Sorry, we're not taking your RG3 call because I can tell you nobody cares about that.
Or tattoos? What are we talking about?
Cleveland
here?
Brown, anything. Thank you, but no thank you, Omar. You lost out with an RG3 suggestion. I wasn't looking at what someone wanted to talk about there. And I believe that this Kaepernick thing has gone on way too long, but the RG3 thing is not an acceptable replacement for this topic right now. I am going to tell you about that Tom Brady life, though. Oh, it's good, Gianna. Oh, it's so good to be Tom Brady.
I might feel a little jealous.
Oh, so jelly. You're going to need some peanut butter with all the jelly you're about to have. Lionel in Fremont. What's up, Lionel?
Hey, what's going on, Damon? How you doing? Hello, Gianna. I hear everyone talking about the cap. Real quick before that, shout out to Coco. You know, I just want to throw it out there. But back to cap. I really think the only thing he's accomplished is just people talking about it. I applaud him for that. It's hard to say, you know, he's for it when you haven't seen no action. I mean, you see people like Marshawn handing new pair of shoes to kids in Oakland. You see, you know, even artists like E-40 handing backpacks out, you know, stuff like that. I don't hear Cap doing anything like that. I'm just curious. Does he do that? I mean, does he go to Turlock or back to Wisconsin and do things like that? I mean, they know we kind of, you know, notice the belief in him, but you know, it's just hard to just, oh, I'm just doing this. I mean, he looks like more like he's pouting. I mean, I understand the cause and all that, and everyone has their own opinion on it, which is all respectable, but I mean, again, this is a football
game.
We come to it to get entertained, to kind of get away from this stuff. I understand other people did in the past, but they did it in moments of triumph. You know, the Olympians doing it when they're getting a gold medal. Muhammad Ali doing it after a fight. I mean, this was a moment of triumph, not in a preseason game when you're the backup quarterback. I mean, it's just it's hard for me to believe that he actually does believe what he's trying to promote the cause.
The timing of it lends itself to feeling a little stunty, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, this could be
you know
strong.
What I mean? It just seems like, oh, you know, like I guess the diversion. I mean, that's honestly what I see. I mean, regardless of what team I root for or anything, just being a football fan in general, we go to sports to get away from these topics of the world. You know, I mean, we go to sports to get entertained and you know, to have that quick moment of just, you know, just enjoying ourselves. You know, for him to kind of bring this, I understand it makes people awkward. Yes, everyone's point is valid. But again, you know, this is football. Like, he's totally killing his career. So I understand if he's going to do this, if this is his reason for killing his career, I guess. But, I mean, when he's been oppressed by police, I mean, the only thing we've heard about is him being acquitted off, you know, certain stuff that if...
Right, there was basically a hired escort that tried to throw a rape charge down on him, and that didn't work, and the police exonerated him there, right?
You know what I mean? I mean, well, it seemed like it seemed like everything was handled good for him.
I never walked a single mile in Colin's shoes. There's never been a single aspect of his life he's really shared with anyone up to this point. He is he's a mystery man in the room. And I just think a lot of people were surprised that when he finally said something, it was this. And now we have to see, like, how much substance we should attach to it. And I don't think he's earned just the benefit of the doubt based on what we've known. He said nothing over 5 years. He said nothing during Ferguson. Don't you dare tell me what he's been tweeting and Instagramming, because I'm telling you, I tweet and Instagram every day, and over a fact, it changes nothing. It's a marketing tool.
I mean, exactly. A hashtag is nothing but words. Again, you know, the old school model. You know, if you're going to talk, you got to walk the walk. So. Like
well,
said,
and not see him now. I mean, now he's walking right into the line of fire, so we will see it happen. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brian in Oakland. Real quick, Brian.
Hi, Damon. Thank you for taking my call, and I just want to weigh in on the Kaepernick situation. I want to say I think what he's going through and what the gesture that he made is being minimalized is being manipulated for the purpose of discrediting the statement that he's making. I think that it's been misinterpreted largely. And what I mean by that is that when he sat, he didn't sit for the purpose of disrespecting the veterans who fought and died for that flag. The reason why he sat is because even within the Pledge of Allegiance itself, it says, with liberty and justice for all. We can all agree that that does not happen in the United States.
No. And, you know, it it's like, you know, all men are created equal, but they're not treated that way.
Right. Correct. So he sat for that reason. And he sat to stand against the contradictive nature of that statement. But yet I think it's being manipulated and misinterpreted to make it seem like he's disrespecting the veterans when, one, you have a lot of veterans who have come out to support him and what he's doing. Two, if you want to talk about disrespecting the veterans, the United States itself hasn't done right by the veterans.
Amen.
The United States, what is more disrespectful? You answer me this question, and I'll let you go. Is it more disrespectful to sit during the Pledge of Allegiance and not acknowledge the flag based upon the inequality that he is trying to bring attention to? Or is it more disrespectful as the U.S. government to put syphilis into the same people who fought on the front line for the country and the flag?
You make a great point, and I hear you loud and clear. Thank you very much for the call, and all I'm going to say is this. Colin has a important message. It's like a crossing guard. A crossing guard's number one job is to make sure your kid gets across the street. And that should be the entire focus of their mission through that intersection, ferrying your child through that street safely. A crossing guard would be poorly served by distracting your kids, asking them Pokemon Go questions while they're, you know, like, now you're off topic. Now you're not doing what you're supposed to
not
do.
Focused.
I just feel that Colin tried to be the crossing guard to bring people into a conversation about race. But unfortunately, he so distracted everyone in the intersection with a flag issue and a national anthem issue that now when we get to the other side of the street, are we here to talk about race or are now we talking about veterans? This is why you have to carefully hone a message as difficult as this. Again, I talk for a living. I communicate for a living. I know some of you will disagree. You got to believe me. I'm good at this. I can take a message and hone it and polish it to come out perfectly. I can also just kind of willy-nilly it and totally screw it up, which I have.
It's happened.
And will again. I'm sure, because I'm human. And I'm working without a net here.
Think about it. What if Colin stands tomorrow? He doesn't have a choice. I mean,
he has so painted himself into this corner now that he has to. I mean, here's the thing. If he stood, he'll be called a Tom by the same people who are supporting him right now.
Right. So he'll have to sit and continue to have a lot of backlash because a lot of people disagree with what he's doing. So he
right.
can't win, really, in this position.
And he's going to sit until racism is at least cured to his liking or he sees effective change. So that means the minute he decides to stand, you're going to have a whole bunch of people going, oh, Colin says there's no more racism in America. Everybody throw a block party. I mean,
like he's stuck.
He is stuck.
He's stuck. He has to do something extraordinary next.
Right.
On the field, or at least.
And if he had thought this through, if he had really sat down to think, what's my end game? You don't paint yourself into a corner for an end game. And so, again, it's just, it feels planned. Some would even say well planned, well executed. I will argue that he did it the wrong way till I'm blue in the face. Hold on for the James Brown. All right, here's the deal. We're coming back for a couple baseball questions for John Morosi. More of your calls, and oh, to be Tom Brady, that Tom Brady life. It's nice.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
They asked us, do you want John Lesosi? I said, no, give me John Morosi. That's terrible. He is on MLB Network. He's on Fox Sports, and he is might as well be on SEC Network. He's covering this Tebow story so much. John, thank you for joining us. Real quickly, without wasting much time on it, what'd you think of the Tebow workout?
Well, Damon, I was actually impressed. I think that the best thing I can say about Tim Tebow is that I felt like yesterday he looked like a minor league baseball player, and that's what he's trying to be. You can't be a major leaguer until you've been a minor leaguer, and I think he wants to be a minor leaguer first and then work his way up. So I think there was enough interest there yesterday, Damon. About a half dozen teams stayed afterward to speak with him, which indicates to me some pretty sincere interest.
I
would have to say, Damon, that the likelihood is a strong likelihood he's going to sign a contract here in the next several weeks.
You know, I heard a lot of people said he didn't move well in the outfield. It's probably because his lats act like a parachute when he runs. That was he wearing a medium?
He's obviously in phenomenal shape. And I would say this. Is he the most fluid defensive player? No. He doesn't move gracefully like a Melvin Upton Jr. does. You think about center fielders, Denard Span. He doesn't move like that, okay? And he probably never will. So you have to be realistic in overall what his profile is going to be. He's going to have to be a power guy if he wants to succeed. But again, the batting practice was impressive enough to me, Damon, that you would look at it and say, okay, he deserves a chance to sign a pro contract. I don't know that he's going to make the major leagues. I think the odds are still against him. But what I saw yesterday was someone who was in impeccable shape, someone who can hit a baseball a very far distance, and if you're in very good shape and you can hit a baseball like that and you perform well in the live at-bats against recent major league pitchers, you deserve a professional contract. And I realize there are going to be people that are skeptical about the fact that why is he doing this and does he really deserve it? Again, I'm not going to put him in the major leagues right now, but if you're asking me if the question is, can he put together respectable at-bats at the Class A level, the answer to that question, I believe right now, Damon, is yes.
John, Coco Crisp, dealt to Cleveland. It's one of those rare instances where that makes sense now. Normally, you know, they're trading future MVPs with arbitration years. But Coco is a 36-year-old outfielder who's got the worst leadoff percentage in baseball. What's weird is he's got the best RISP in baseball, too. If somebody's right on base, he'll drive him in. If he's supposed to lead off an inning, good luck to you. Can he help the Indians in their pennant chase?
He can. And one important reason why, Damon, is, of course, they've got Abraham Almonte, who was not eligible for them for the playoffs because, of course, he was suspended earlier this year by MLB. So that reason there is basically telling me there is a spot in that lineup, a spot in that outfield where they can put Coco Crisp, certainly against a very good right-handed pitching. I think he'll have a spot in there in most of those scenarios. So I think it's a good move by Cleveland. Of course, he goes back to a city where he began his major league career, where he's been very comfortable. I think there's a lot of very good things about that deal from Cleveland's standpoint. Of course, he's a guy that's been in the playoffs multiple times, of course, as all the A's fans out there know listening. So I think he's a good fit for what Cleveland wants. And I think the A's, it's the beginning of what could be a difficult process through this offseason of figuring out who are the guys they're going to keep, who can they afford, what's their identity going to be, as we talked about last week. I think this is sort of the first step towards figuring out what that 2017 A's roster is going to look like.
The Giants are going through one of their most important 24 hours of the entire season right now. We all know the road trip that's coming up. The 10-gamer starts in Chicago, big test. But today, they've already got a win in the books. The Dodgers have already dropped the first game. Rich, the human blister Hill, scratched from the second start. Are the Dodgers down right now? Are they underway in game two?
Yeah, 6-2.
They're trailing.
They're trailing. So
Steven Cardullo, Damon, with his first career grand slam.
That's right.
A great story. A four-year independent league player for the Rockies comes in, hits a home run against the Dodgers in the first game, and then hits a grand slam against the Dodgers in the second game. So again, I'm quite sure Steven Cardullo can go to North Beach and he will not have to pay for a meal should the Giants prevail in this division race because of his handiwork here today. So well done by Steven Cardullo there for the Rockies. And listen, as you point out, the Dodgers' rotation questions continue. Clayton Kershaw Kershaw threw two innings yesterday in a simulated game, which to me, Damon, says he's probably 2 weeks away from being able to be a solid five- or six-inning pitcher at the major league level. The good news for the Dodgers, they do have Brandon McCarthy, Scott Kazmir, Brett Anderson all making their way back at one stage or another. But again, you mentioned Rich Hill. They are living dangerously here, Damon, with a rotation that they've really kind of put together with gum and duct tape here in the last couple of weeks. And we'll see how long they can continue doing this. I will say this, from the Giants' standpoint, getting Matt Moore on track is huge. Of course, he started the stretch now. They've won 4 out of 6. He started that period of time where he had that great outing against the Dodgers in that absolute must-win game at Dodger Stadium. Another win today. So that's what they needed him to do when they traded for him. He's now helped them get themselves figured out here. And if the Dodgers lose this game, Damon, they're now tied in the loss column. So all square potentially there as the month of September begins. This is why I love pennant races, Damon, especially between two arch rivals like the Dodgers and the Giants.
It is good times. All the time you spent covering baseball, researching it, history. Has anyone ever died of a blister?
Not that I know of.
Could happen to Rich Hill. I'm just saying. It's
Sports Bureau, Damon, on this. But again, this is a vexing thing. And
gosh.
Again, we know a lot about baseball. We've got metrics on a lot of things. There are people and doctors and trainers that make tons of money, okay, that are the best professionals in the world at what they do, and still this blister has vexed them all. I mean, it is really a remarkable thing, and again, the A's dealt with it, now the Dodgers dealing with it, and really this has kind of become a big story for West Coast baseball. The Rich Hill blister, it's sort of been one of the stories of the year if you're a West Coast baseball fan.
Oh, without it, the West Coast blister, how the West was won or lost, it depends on how you feel about Rich Hill's blister. Thank you very much. Always good to talk to you. And by the way, good on-camera stuff from the Tebow thing. Don't go all TV Hollywood on us now, okay?
Believe me, I've got a face for radio and a voice for the newspapers.
Nah, you handsome devil, you.
I will not stray from my identity. I promise you that.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
John Morosi, MLB Network, Fox Sports. Good to talk to him. Let's squeeze in a call real quick. Winemaker Sonoma, how are you, Winemaker? What do you got?
Hey, guys. So just real quickly, a couple of things. First of all, does the rocket scientist Kaepernick realize that he's talking about oppression and he was wearing a Fidel Castro T-shirt?
Right. So this is when we talk about messages and being the right person to deliver a message, that tells me you really haven't read anything but Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, give me a break. I mean, maybe it matched his hat. I don't know, but enough of him.
Remember, this is the guy who wore a Dolphins hat, remember?
Yep.
Because it matched his outfit.
Somebody's picking out his stuff. But anyway, I need two of those martinis at Gibson's, which is awesome, by the way. But it's making my head hurt with this whole – everything now is about laying blame. It's all about not taking responsibility for your actions. I married a Brazilian. We travel a lot. We travel down there. You want to talk about oppression? I could go down the list of countries that are – horrible in human rights violations. We are the beacon on the hill. That's where people that are oppressed come to this country so that they can live a free life and they can build a future for their family. So enough with this whole disrespecting oppression. That's just a bunch of bull. And partly, if you're growing up in the Bay Area, you name me another spot that's more liberal in the country than the Bay Area. The Bay Area, you can be whoever you want to be. Trust me. Just go down to the Castro and see. You know, and I don't mean anything by that. I'm just saying, what would be a better place to grow up if you were a person of color or different or whatever? I just think it's a big excuse. You want to look at the champion? Look at Martin Luther King. Love every year. Look at people like that. That's hard work. That's diligence. That's perseverance. That's doing the right thing. That's teaching a lesson. It's not this, I'm being disrespected. It just drives me nuts. Maybe I'm an angry old guy, but it just drives me nuts. So, great show. Thanks again.
Appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Larry Taxi, I swear to God, if you got something pithy to say about this, we're not going to take another call from you all year. This is too serious to joke about, Larry.
I understand, and this is a serious call, Damon, so please bear with me. Listen, you know, there's nothing wrong with Colin Kaepernick saying what he said because this country was built on free speech, okay? But if you want to go about affecting social change, Damon, you don't do it in that kind of fashion. I think Colin is actually using this as a distraction for his poor play, because I'll bet if Martin Luther King were alive, he'd throw a better touch pass and lead a defense.
See, you took it too far. You took it. I knew you were going to trip over something, Larry. That's a week in the penalty box. We'll talk. I'll tell you this. Larry, we'll talk to you week one of NFL season. Not a lick before, okay?
Poor Larry.
Oh, jeez.
He tries.
You know, again, it's kind of like Colin. There's an earnest thing he wants to do, but how he delivers the message sometimes is cringeworthy.
It's so true.
Okay, let's see. I got these callers on hold who want to come in, but we just don't have any more time today, because when we come on back, we have to talk about lives that are better than ours, for sure.
Great.
Tom and Giselle, that's next. But how about this? How about this? Caller number four right now, 888-957-9570. Caller number four, 888-957-9570. We are sending you to the Raiders-Seahawks game tomorrow. It's the preseason game everyone wants to see. And all you got to do is come on physically into our station to pick up the tickets, because Will Call apparently is just a hurdle. This particular contest is not going to jump over. So if you would like a pair of tickets, game four, preseason, tomorrow, come get them yourself. 888-957-9570, caller number four. Good luck.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
One of the phrases you hear the kids talking about these days is "bout that life." You bout that life? You willing to make all the sacrifices it takes to really be bout that life?
Hell yeah, I am.
Actually, probably not. Sounds a little tough. I'll tell you what life I'm all about. I'm about that Tom Brady life. And by the way, if you are too, you can buy into a slice of Brady heaven right now. If you have a Brazilian supermodel wife, it'll be a lot easier. I can't imagine there's a single aspect of your life that doesn't get easier with a Brazilian supermodel wife, right?
I'm going to go with yes.
Just kind of puts a bounce in every man's step, I would imagine. So, by the way, if you were looking for your Colin Kaepernick-free segment, here it is. Enjoy. By the way, and congratulations to Michael in San Francisco. He is our winner. We gave away all pairs of tickets to the unwatchable, the fourth preseason game of the year, Raiders-Seahawks tomorrow.
Congrats.
Congratulations. You can buy into that Tom Brady life right now. All you need is $17.25 million, and their New York City penthouse can be yours. It's on the market right now. It's located in the One Madison Tower, which is in the Flatiron District. Wall-to-ceiling windows, Gianna. Amazing panoramic view, starring the Empire State Building, like
wow,
right outside your window. The website that I've seen it, it's just freaking amazing, right?
Jeez. That's a lot of money, I'm sure.
3,300 square feet, 3 bedrooms, 3.5 baths. You get a private elevator. In the building, you get a lap pool, a steam room. You can have a schwitz. The screening room, the gym, the children's playroom, meeting rooms, private dining room, and a catering kitchen. Sounds like you'd never have to leave the building if you didn't want to. Now, Tom's done very well, but I'm going to tell you right now, there are very few professional athletes, not named NBA players or megastars in baseball, that can afford the note on a $17.5 million.
Right.
That's a lot of money, even for a rich person. Tom's a rich person. His wife is a very rich person. Giselle is the sugar mama of this family. Do you know that she finished atop Forbes' annual list of highest paid models, a list that she has frequented for almost 10 years in a row now? This year, $30.5 million she's made, and it's not over. This year's not over yet.
No.
30 and a hook.
Wow, good for her. Must be nice.
She's got a mega deal with Chanel. Mm-hmm. She's got her own lingerie line. It's like Vandalay import exports. She is the most important export from Brazil. Last year, she made $20 million more than the second place highest priced model in the world, Adriana Lima. Who, by the way, she bounces better than Giselle, let's just say. She's got crazy bounce to her.
Does she?
Yeah. Oh, Adriana Lima. basically, it's like it should say Goodyear on her breasts.
Also Brazilian, by the way.
Yeah, dude, never sleep on Brazil. No. Never sleep on Brazil. Always sleep with Brazil is what I'm trying to say. Oi, tudo bem? Si, tudo bem.
Si.
That just means, hey, how you doing, by the way, in Portuguese. Yeah. It's all that is.
But if you're going to draft by country for supermodels, you're going Brazilian, number one.
I'm dead serious. Years ago, I'm like, I'm going to that Olympics in Brazil. And if I hadn't gotten engaged, I would have been at that Olympics in Brazil. So let's break this down. You like raw daddy numbers? Of course you do. That's what we're all here for. Give me the straight dope, Mr. Dealer. So here's what it would cost you, Gianna.
Myself.
Moi. To move in. So it is 17 and a quarter million. You got to put down at least 15%. That's how.
Oh, sure.
15, 20% to move in anywhere.
Standard.
We're talking about a 30-year fixed mortgage. Annual interest rate, about 4.5%, okay? The mortgage payment information done here, usatoday.com. So your down payment would have to be $2.587 million and change. So you got to have, you basically need to put down $2.6 million as a down payment.
So that needs to be in the bank right now.
Then you're financing $14.662 million. Guess what your monthly payment is on that setup? Guess what your monthly is? All it costs when you put down $2.5 million, finance the other $14.6 million, your monthly note to move into the Giselle Brady Mansion
apartment in New York,
your monthly payment, $74,292.
Oh, really?
$74,000 a month. For $74,000 a month, I better be living with Giselle. You know what I mean?
$74,000?
$74,000 a month.
That's rent.
That's what
I
most...
I mean, not rent mortgage.
That's what most people wish they made in a year.
Wow. That's, yeah, not happening.
So if you need a lifestyle like that, being the hands-down best quarterback of your generation won't be enough. You're going to need a Brazilian supermodel wife who banks it like Jordan dunked from the free throw line. Wow. Can you imagine? Here's the thing. I don't think there's any amount of money I could ever make. Let's say I were a – let's use a pretend number. Let's say I were a kajillionaire.
Mm-hmm. A kajillionaire, okay.
I still don't think I could swallow paying $74,000 a month in rent. Like, I just can't imagine. I know that just, you know, it's money on a different level no matter what you do.
And it's like 3,500 square feet.
Yeah.
To me, that is so, I mean, gorgeous views. I get it. It's New York, expensive. I would totally live somewhere else for that kind of money.
For $74,000 a month, I am on the 17th hole of the Bel Air golf course, surrounded by Playboy bunnies, my grotto, my Ferraris. I mean, geez.
Right? That's a different world. That is a different world. I will say this. When she posts pictures of her and Tom, they do look like a fun, cute couple, though. Like, she looks like she'd be cool to be friends with.
Okay,
even though she's gorgeous, you're going to
drop a cute couple on them?
I know. They're gorgeous.
They're so perfectly genetic, I want to punch the both of them in the face until something's wrong or crooked with both their noses.
But doesn't she look like she's fun? Did you see her partying at the Rio Olympics? So, I mean, she was just having, she didn't care.
She looked like she's more fun than Tom. There's
way
no doubt.
Way more fun than Tom. He's the serious one. Like, you could party and have a good time with Giselle.
Oh, you don't have to convince me of that. Look at it this way. We've invited her to the bachelor party. Let's see if she comes.
Wow. Did you invite Adriana Lima as a second option? Just checking.
Damn it. I should have called her, too. What a interesting show we had today, if you don't mind me saying. I want to thank everyone. You know, I sent the tweet out yesterday after the show. I just want to say it on the air. And this doesn't speak for all the callers. The vast majority of our callers have added to the conversation, didn't subtract with fanning flames of outrage or spewing propaganda. We had some really, really good callers looking at this topic of Colin Kaepernick from both sides of the issue. And all I can tell you is that someone's like, man, you know, I don't know if anybody's discussed this more intelligently than you. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm, I don't know what I just did. Hopefully it worked out. But I am impressed by the vast majority of my audience. Thank you for stepping through this very uncomfortable topic in the most delicate of manners over the last few days. Tomorrow, we're talking Raiders. We're talking Raiders for 2 hours leading up to the Raider game. That's what we're going to do. A little more Colin, but what's left to say, let's see what happens next. That pretty much defines him in a nutshell on many, many fronts. Thank you very much for tuning in. It was wonderful to talk to you today. Our guest, always fantastic. Thanks to Scott Baer, James Michael McAdoo, Alex Pavlovich, John Morosi. Thank you to Albie, did a great job producing today. Danny, thank you, Gianna. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, Guinevere.
You're welcome, Joe.
And remember, sports don't build character, they reveal it. Thank you, Sonoma Tucky. You were here too today. He made a really funny intro that we couldn't use.
Heard it.
I know, we couldn't use it. Political correctness and such and such. Good job, Sonoma Tucky. Okay, now we're done.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.